Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This month, more Americans woke up, got dressed, and headed to work at an office or factory or storefront. More folks are feeling the sense of pride and satisfaction that comes with a hard-earned and well-deserved paycheck at the end of a long week of work.
But jobs are not coming back for everyone, and they certainly are not coming back evenly across the board. It is hardly news to say black men have a harder time in the job market than most other Americans. But here is some new data. The national unemployment rate in March was 9.7%. For African-American men, 19%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's about 12% for black women. Black men make up a quarter of what's called the discouraged labor force, and there's more that we'll get into. In New York City, according to City Limits magazine, black men from the North Shore of Staten Island were unemployed at a rate of 21%. It was 22% in Harlem, the Central Bronx, and Southeast Queens, and 46% among black men from Red Hook and Park Slope. So what to do? Jared Murphy, editor of City Limits, is here, and David Jones, director of the Community Service Society, the think tank that advocates on behalf of the poor in New York. Jared and David, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Good morning, Brian.
Jared, those numbers I was just citing, first of all, what's going on in Brooklyn? 46%.
Well, good morning, Brian. Those numbers actually come from the Fiscal Policy Institute. They looked at data from the third quarter of last year, which was some of the most recent available data. And making estimates on unemployment in particular neighborhoods is a bit tricky because the sample sizes are very, very small. But there is some indication that, you know, those areas have significantly higher black unemployment than for anyone else and black male unemployment than elsewhere in the country. Exactly what's going on, I don't know. There are a number of factors that work into black unemployment in the city and elsewhere. You know, people who don't have the education that employers are working for, discrimination on the part of hirers, problems with records of incarceration, any number of reasons. Finding out exactly what it is neighborhood by neighborhood or even nationwide has been a kind of a 40-year quest by researchers and advocates, and I don't think we're there yet.
And David Jones, it's certainly not new to say there's a disparity between black men and other groups when it comes to employment. Has this recession exacerbated the disparity?
We think so. Obviously, there's almost an immediate rule of thumb that you double the unemployment rate, and then you also have to pick up the issue of more and more discouraged workers. I think that in the Bureau of Labor Statistics release also is a growing recognition that we're seeing a marked increase in the number of discouraged workers, which have an over-representation of black and Latino men.
Why such a large disparity between black men and black women? Where do you begin with that?
It's interesting. When we started studying this 5 or 6 years ago, we were looking at labor participation rates for black men that was hovering at 50%, which is pretty terrible. And we started to disaggregate the data, and at least anecdotally, what seemed to have happened is one of the unforeseen impacts of welfare reform was an enormous surge in the number of women who were formerly on welfare being forced into low-wage work. And we think what may have happened is actually employers began to pick up women in preference, particularly to black men, particularly those dealing one-on-one with the public. We think that's one of the issues that's going on here, but women basically have done somewhat better, though a 12% plus unemployment rate is a very weird way of saying better.
Yeah.
And their wages basically have been so low that it hasn't really lifted women out of poverty.
Brian, I think there's a couple of things going on with the gender disparity. One is that men, both black and white, they tend to work in industries that are more cyclical. Black men, for example, tend to work in manufacturing, which is always hard hit by recessions and has been hard hit by this one. I think also the industries that survive well in recessions and that have grown in general, service industries, that there is some evidence that employers tend to hire women of color over men, whether that's out of discrimination, whether that is because they're the ones applying for the jobs, out of deference to some perceived bias on the part of their customers, any number of reasons. But that disparity has been there and present for a number of years.
Listeners, we do want to hear from you. Does this sound like you? Are you a black man so discouraged from looking for work that you're not currently trying, as one of those stats is the discouraged workers category, much higher among black men than others? Call us up and tell your story. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. As we talk particularly about employment and black men in this recession, with Jared Murphy, the investigations editor of City Limits magazine, and David Jones, president and CEO of the Community Service Society. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Jared, two of your stats are one that I just mentioned. Black men make up a quarter of the discouraged labor force, people who've given up looking for now, and a record low participation in the workforce rate at 64% of black men, a record low for the group. What does participation rate refer to, actually?
Well, Brian, the unemployment rate that we all pay attention to each month, it's something of an inaccurate indicator of where the economy is heading or how the workforce is treating any particular group. To be unemployed, you have to not only lack a job, but have actively sought one in the past 4 weeks. So if you lose your job or you've never worked and you've stopped looking, you aren't employed and you aren't unemployed. You have fallen out of the labor force. So one way that economists and researchers try to keep track of that phenomenon is by looking at the percentage of people who are working age and who are either employed or unemployed, who are part of the labor force, and that's how they calculate the labor force participation rate. And that has been falling for men, black and white, for decades. But most precipitously for black men. And in fact, it continued to either flatline or fall even through the most recent kind of big boom, which was during the 1990s. And that points to the fact that, as I think you said in your lead-in, this is a long-standing problem. It's exacerbated by recessions. It's made to appear more dramatic. But particularly when you look at workers who have fallen out of the workforce entirely, this is kind of a generational problem that the recession just sort of puts a red flag on.
And David, this is such a perennial problem. Have there been major policy responses that have been tried and failed?
Well, I don't think so. I think this is, we sort of all became enamored with welfare reform as the total solution to poverty and to a certain extent joblessness. And there really hasn't been a coherent policy like the old CETA programs, or clearly going back to the Great Depression, the WPA programs. Nothing of that sort, despite the fact that in many black communities, at least, we're above depression levels of unemployment. So I think, obviously, stage two of this discussion on jobs and recovery has to be about these populations that are clearly going to be mired in chronic and long-term unemployment that's going to begin to destabilize whole communities, and already has begun.
Last hour we had, as one of our guests, ABC News senior White House correspondent Jake Tapper. And in anticipation of this segment, I asked him if President Obama, when, you know, crowing about the success last month in creating new jobs, though still clearly saying the country has a long way to go, but if in looking below the top line numbers, the Obama administration has dealt with this racial disparity and said anything about it or come up with anything particular to address it. And here's what some of Jake Tapper said in response.
President Obama has talked about how minority communities have been hit particularly hard, but this isn't like an emphasis of the administration that they need to get Latin American workers back to work, African American workers back to work. It's more of just a wholesale, all of America needs to start, and we need to get jobs back on the table for all of them. This is something that comes up a great deal when President Obama is criticized, either publicly or privately, by members of the Congressional Black Caucus or others who are concerned that he is not addressing the specific issue about how minority communities have been hit hardest, although it is true, of course, that during recession, minority communities are almost always hit hardest.
So do you want to react to that? Jarrett Murphy from City Limits, are there any policies that you advocate in your article that you would like to see Washington undertake here? And do you think the Obama administration, despite obviously, you know, having a black president for the first time, are too distant from this issue?
Well, as a journalist, Brian, I try to stay out of the advocacy business or else I'll join the ranks of the unemployed. But I think, you know, some of the ideas that are being put forward by members of the Black Congressional Caucus and others who have tried to bring attention to this are basically a call for you can do the traditional stimulus that we have done, do more of it, but target it more to particular neighborhoods. In other words, make eligibility for those funds contingent on an area having particularly high unemployment or a particular person having been unemployed for some time or be part of some disadvantaged group. That's one approach. Another approach that some Congress members of Congress have put forward is to, you know, sort of go to more of a WPA New Deal route and have direct creation of jobs as opposed to, you know, sort of a trickle-down pump priming exercise. And then you could also target those jobs specifically to populations. You know, you couldn't obviously say these jobs are for black people, these jobs are for whites, but because these problems are sort of located and concentrated in urban areas, there are ways to address the problem without making it race-specific. But I think what Tapper says about Obama is correct. This obviously to respond to the pressure from his base, the president would have to wade into discussions of race, and that has proven perilous for many presidents, but particularly for this one. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, privately the administration, I'm sure, acknowledges this is going on, but publicly its agenda is to create jobs for all Americans and raise the tide for all boats.
David Jones, you're in the advocacy business. So where do you come down on this?
I sort of follow Jared in this. I understand the political expedience. Before an advocate, I was a city official, so I absolutely know what they're doing. But I think there are innovative ways to come at this, and we've been experimenting and working with members of Congress on a number of them. With Congressman Rangel's help, we got a tax credit that would incentivize private employers to hire young people 16 to 24 who are out of work and out of school for 6 months. That's clearly race neutral, but it would have an enormous impact on the 5 million young people in this particular situation, large numbers of whom are black and Latino. The other way is Congressman Nadler has come up with a WPA program relating to the transportation and infrastructure bill that's going to be introduced in the next 6 to 8 months in the Congress. That's supposed to be nearly $1 trillion for bridges and tunnels and high-speed rail, making up special teams of young people who are out of work and lack skills, again, would not be a criteria based on race, but on the condition and lack of education of large groups of young people, particularly in the areas where some of these projects are going to be going forward. The high-speed rail corridor up and down the East Coast goes everywhere from Boston to New York to Philadelphia to Washington, areas where large numbers of young people, particularly young people of color, are concentrated, giving them jobs of last resort, which would have essentially some economic incentive and education supports, makes absolute sense. So I think there's enough innovation here that recognizes political expediency, but can reach large numbers of young people. And by the way, I don't want to downplay the fact that for young people of whatever race without high school, this is a lousy economy.
Right. That's another big disparate impact is on teenagers looking for work and other very young workers. We're talking about the racial disparity primarily right now in the employment picture with respect to black men who make up a quarter of all the so-called discouraged workers, not even looking for work anymore. They're so discouraged, so disproportionate to their percentage in the population, according to the latest statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And we're talking about that with Jarrett Murphy, investigations editor for City Limits, who's done a piece on this, and David Jones, president and CEO of the Community Service Society of New York. And let's hear some of your stories and other calls. Anthony in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anthony.
Good morning, Brian. Love your show.
Thank you.
I'm African-American, and I'm one of the people who have been been just very discouraged. I have not looked for work in the last year. I was laid off back in 2009, and one of the challenges, I worked in the power industry here in the tri-state area, and it's just been tough, just been difficult looking for work, which really forced me to decide if I'm not going to get a job, I have to more or less create my own opportunity right now, and I've actually done that by establishing a small little business. But the challenge with that is not being able to go to a bank or not being able to get the funding to even help out with the startup.
David Jones, any advice for Anthony?
I think he's run up against, you know, precisely the problem. In my various careers, I chaired the board of Carver Federal Savings, and the whole issue of access to credit by emerging entrepreneurs is something actually that the city administration has been looking at, and it has a fairly favorable support. There's microcredit ideas that are emerging. I would suggest that the listener give us an email me, and I can have one of my staff members give him all the available microcredit and other supportive services we have. I can be reached at D. Jones at CSSNY.org, and I'll have my staff collect some of the targets that he may have to apply to get started. But this is one of the areas where there does seem to be some interest, particularly for entrepreneurs who are striking out on their own.
That's a little bit of hope. Anthony, a little something there anyway.
I'll try.
Can I get his email address one more time, please?
Okay. It's CSSNY.org. Okay. And it's djones@cssny.org.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure,
Anthony,
I'll try.
Best of luck to you.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
James in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Hi. I listen to your show all the time. Great show.
Thank you.
First time calling in. A little nervous.
It's okay. We'll take care.
Okay. I'm just a little, you know, it sounds like a monolithic description, you know, African Americans, Latinos, uneducated, like they're suffering from a plight. I think we need to take a more nuanced approach to it. Because in my instance, you know, I'm very educated, a lot of professional certifications.
Right.
And I think that, you know, America's still having difficulty adjusting to the fact that there is an African-American president. And as challenging as that is, I think a lot of people still have a hard time facing, you know, like an African-American doctor or an African-American engineer. And when you go into an interview, you're faced with that every single time. And I think, you know, there needs to be a more nuanced approach. We're not all uneducated, you know. And I think even just throwing that around could be problematic for some of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an excellent point the caller makes. You know, among the men that I met who are unemployed in the city during my months of reporting, you know, there were people who were high school dropouts and people who had done significant time in prison, but there also were entrepreneurs who had successful businesses that kind of fell apart as a result of the recession, or guys who had been working for years and simply lost their jobs because the businesses contracted. So that is definitely out there. And I think also that the caller's point that the discussion of a lack of educational qualifications among black men itself can be problematic brings up a particularly thorny issue in this problem, which is something called statistical discrimination, which is the phenomenon by which employers assume that a black man is more likely to have done time, is more likely to lack a high school diploma or a college degree, and therefore, without really examining the individual, discriminates against them because they might, you know, possess those characteristics which are unattractive in an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So that problem is definitely out there, and it contributes to this sort of web of problems facing black workers and blacks who want to work, in that you know, they may have fewer qualifications, but you know, even workers who do have them are kind of dragged down by the impression that that people like them don't have what it takes to do these jobs.
Are there stats to take James's call for more nuanced statistics seriously? Are there stats that break down unemployment or discouraged workers or any of the other categories by race among those who have the same higher education degrees or professional certifications?
I don't have them to hand. I know they exist, and my belief is that they indicate that regardless of the skill level, in other words, regardless of how much credentials a worker has, black men fare more poorly than their counterparts in other racial groups.
And David, any particular advice for James?
Well, you know, he's actually expressing something that we're seeing all over the place. And this isn't hopeful yet, but clearly we're seeing employers offering low-wage jobs and requiring some college for jobs that really don't require it. I keep talking about the Starbucks, the fact that Starbucks baristas often have to have some years of college before they're considered for an employee. So I think there is clearly some need that the caller has touched upon, that if we make this just a blanket assertion of what's wrong, we're going to miss the kind of nuances we need. We're also recognizing we're starting to pick up older workers who have worked for their entire lives, who suddenly reach my age, which I won't have to go into, but who are laid off because of physical infirmity. And because of the skill sets they built, really can't find other work in this environment. But I think the question is obviously going and recognizing that there is a two-tiered problem here. A large number of young people coming into the workforce who are black men who don't have requisite skills. But then also a large group that have come through with the skills and are suddenly coming into an environment where a lot of things are at work. Some of it is traditional discrimination. Some of it is the lack of professional networks that have never had a chance to be created for us.
Absolutely. The networking is absolutely key because you're trying to make the connections and the job connections, but you're coming from, from family or a traditional network that just typically wasn't in those areas. So bridging that gap is a major challenge.
It is.
James, thank you for your call. Good luck out there.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
One other thing from our comments page. Well, a couple of things that people are writing in. Let's see. Diedrich from Queens. I have two cousins in Atlanta who are college educated and neither could find work in Atlanta, so both have re-enlisted in the military. One is awaiting deployment to Afghanistan, and the other is currently deployed in Kuwait. The military seems to be one of the few legit employment opportunities for black men at the moment. And Tyler from Brooklyn writes, please comment as to whether illegal immigration has had a long-term impact on jobs for low-income Americans, whether African-American or Latino, in industries such as concrete and construction. It seems as though a lot of federal state money goes to wealthy contractors who hire illegal immigrants. And that's a hot button, Jarrett, but do you have stats on this? Are you willing to go there?
I will go there with some trepidation. I think I don't know anything about federal contract dollars being routed to particular job sites, but there is some evidence from the economic research that immigration, be it legal or illegal, that having large numbers of immigrants in a particular industry will affect the employment prospects and the wages of other low-skilled people who are trying to find those jobs. So if you lack a high school diploma, you're competing against a pool of immigrants who also lack a high school diploma, some of them who might be undocumented, might be willing to work for less than the minimum wage. So there is some evidence that that does negatively affect urban black men, which is obviously a very touchy issue. I think one thing to point out is that that description of the problem doesn't presuppose a solution. Closing off the borders, mm-hmm. trying to prevent immigration doesn't necessarily solve that problem. I think it kind of goes to the question of what is to be done with this undocumented population and whether some form of legalization or amnesty might address the problem. I'm not saying that it necessarily would, but it doesn't presuppose that since illegal immigration or undocumented immigration seems to hurt black workers, that therefore immigrants are the problem. Mm-hmm. Some would argue it's the legal status that is the problem.
And David, we're going to end on this on this divisive question, but a lot of the research that's done say, one of the few groups that are actually affected by illegal immigration with respect to job availability are low-income Americans, particularly African-Americans, right. And yet progressives are loath to break ranks on questions such as illegal immigration.
Well, I think that's why the Black Caucus has been so much in front of the question of normalization of immigration status. This notion that we sort of keep going this way, or we can put up mile-high walls to prevent people seeking economic security, is ridiculous. And I think the Black Caucus has recognized that early. But I also think we have to recognize that, particularly in the construction trades, there's been a discriminatory wall towards black men going back, to the 1950s and before. We still have problems with certain of the trades, like the unionized sheet metal workers, who are still under court decree because of their chronic discrimination against black workers. So I don't think immigration alone can be made the villain of this piece, and I think it's dangerous to do so. And moreover, having so many African Americans and Afro-Caribbean, the issue becomes much more nuanced for black men in New York.
Jarrett Murphy, investigations editor for City Limits. David Jones, president and CEO of the Community Service Society of New York. We've talked about this kind of thing many times before, and we will continue, obviously, to stay on it with the many nuances in the future as hopefully something is done to actually alleviate this disparity in employment. David, Jarrett, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brian.
And listeners, if you are a black man or anyone else, if you are interested in blogging about your experiences looking for work, go to our Help Wanted site through WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Unemployed black men, especially encouraged for right now, and anyone else may also check it out. WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show for our Help Wanted Facebook community for job seekers. And we will turn to the lighter side of what some people are posting on the Help Wanted site about the weirdest questions that you've ever been asked in a job interview, and you can call us up with yours, 212-433-WNYC. Go see what people have written at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, and then call us up with the weirdest actual interview question you've ever been asked, 212-433-9692.